Let me share with you briefly the place of the church for Israel's welfare. Is it for or in Israel's welfare, however you put it? But the place of the church, and I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about believers. Let me tell you who church is. A believer who has accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. That's a church, not religion. And you have to understand this church. Listen to me, I've said it over the years. Come up higher. The political system is temporary. The covenant of God is eternal. The covenant of God is eternal. Politics will go all over. But listen to this. You must listen to the voice of God in your generation. There are many voices. Many voices. But you have to listen to the voice of God in your generation. That's why John 10 says this, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. So many things even happen in our nation, but you have to listen, to pay attention to what God is doing. You must open your heart to listen to God in your generation. So I want to speak about, briefly, as I give the report, the place of the church for in Israel, or for Israel's welfare. Again, I said politics are temporary, but God's purposes are eternal. Jesus said these words, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The flower, the grass will dry, the flower will fall, but the one who does the word of God endures forever. That's God's purposes. They are higher than the political system, than higher than the reigning force. Kings come and go. The people who've risen up over centuries, people like Hitler, say, I'm going to annihilate all the Jews from the face of the earth. He's no longer here. And I've heard testimonies one after another of people say, we saw him in hell languishing. Why? They rejected God. They rejected his covenant. The political system can never come up above God's covenant. So what do you look for in your generation? His covenant. What does he say? His word is his bond. Let's go to Psalm 89 quickly. Psalm 89. Look at verse. Yes. Let's go verse 20. It's too much, but I have to read some few scriptures. Verse 20. I have found my servant David. Let's start from verse 19. Then you spoke in a vision. Whose psalm is this? The contemplation of Ethan the Israelite. Remembering the covenant with David and sorrow for lost blessings. But he says this in verse 19. He's remembering the covenant of God to David. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One and said, I have given help to no one who's mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil, I have anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, also my arm shall strengthen him. All right? Are you seeing that? I have found my servant who? David. Now look at this then. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Hamas is wickedness. You know what they did was wicked. And listen to this. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name, his horn shall be exalted. Also, I'll set his hand over the sea and his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, O my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn. Don't forget that. The highest of the kings of the earth, my mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him is unchangeable. His seed also, mark that those words, yeah? His seed also I will make to endure when? Forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. That's God's covenant. God, whatever he says coming out of his mouth is established. If we say, wow, if he came here and he stood and he say, you all are starting to enjoy right now. You are enjoying Christmas 2024. Forget about March. It has turned to Christmas. Celebrations begin. His word is enduring. His word is firm, established. His word is unchangeable. His word changes circumstances, and it changes your circumstances if you allow it. There's no greater thing than the covenant God has made with his people. Now listen to this then. He says, quickly, verse 30, if his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I'll punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with the stripes. Nevertheless, did you see that? Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. And then he goes on to say in verse 34, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Is unchangeable. He's constant in all seasons. He will never change. And then he says this, once I have sown by my holiness, God says, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me, it shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. When you see the sun rising and its setting, that covenant is on. It will never change. Let's go to Matthew 1:1. That's in the new covenant, remember? Now we're coming to the new covenant. Matthew 1:1, the first scripture in the Bible, in the new covenant. It says this. Are you there? The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ. Let's say it together. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So, we didn't come from nowhere. It talks about that genealogy is introducing the eternal one who's now put on a bodily form. He dwelt before time. He was subjected to time for 33 years. He created the universe, yet he came into that universe in a bodily form. The eternal one. The unchangeable one. When through all the afflictions as a man, he wept. He was tired. He was hungry. He was grieved. The Bible says he can be touched by infirmities because he walked where we walked. He's been touched. He experienced what we're experiencing now. Therefore, he's a faithful priest. He can be touched by what you're experiencing right now. He's the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. And his covenant will never change to him. Listen to this. That's why, again, a true believer, I was telling Jewish, they're not even born again Christians, but they're Jews. I was telling them, I tell them, listen to this, people. The true friends you have all over the world, friends, true ones, are the ones who are born again, who are called Christians, who are truly Christians, because a true Christian will not hate a Jew. A true Christian will not hate a Jew. Let's go to Galatians 3, then I'll go a certain direction. Galatians 3. We've been brought in. We'll go read in your own time, Romans 11. After it, go listen to my message I spoke, I think, the first Friday of February during prayer and fasting, about some of the reasons I gave why we pray for Israel. Please go check it out. But in verse 26 of Galatians 3, it says this: "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Is anyone in faith born again? You are a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So that covenant is available to you. And then he says this: "For as many of you are baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." And then he goes on to say, "There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." And then he says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So if they are of the same promise, whether they have known Yeshua, Son of God, as their personal Savior or not, but you have the same promise, why would you hate them? Or would you align with the people who will hate Israel? I refuse that for all my life. I refuse that. I don't care how it will be politically right to attack the Jews. We will not be part of that. As for me and my house, amen, which is the house of God, we will not accept that. Do you agree? So anyway, so go please read it out in our own time. But last year, I don't know if you all remember, some of you are here, I know several of many of you are not here, but there's a Sunday we had a guest who was a friend. She wasn't even a guest speaker, but Seth and Iki and his wife that come with this lady from Israel. The mother is Nigerian, but the father is a Jew, and the husband is a Jew. So they had come from some business, you know, just checking out what should happen and all that. And then on Saturday evening, Seth sent to me a text and said, "Pastor, Toby, you like to speak for 10 minutes. I thought, "What? I don't know who she is." And I thought, let me listen inside of me. And there was peace. And I thought, okay, Lord, I've never done this. You know, you've never met with the person they want to speak to the church. What about this student? And they say, "You all are blank, blank, blank." And you are there as the pastor. You grab the microphone. Oh, that's what you don't wait. But whose mistake is that? The pastor. So anyway, but she came and she spoke for about 10 minutes. Any of you remember Toby Love? Yeah, for some few minutes. And then went behind there and, in fact, the Lord impressed me. I didn't know if she was born again or not. She was a Jew. As I was preparing that morning, the Lord impressed me to give her the Tree of Life Bible, which is actually written just like Jewish thinking or Messianic Jewish thinking. So I brought 200 to Toby and her husband, and I brought to her. And that really impressed her. And she went and we started talking, and then immediately after that, we were receiving the first fruit for Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, which is called in Greek Pentecost. And then I asked her, "Toby, where do you think we can make an impact in sowing to Israel?" And she said, "I've got some places I can tell you." And one of it was Magen David Adom, which is like the Red Cross of Israel. So she said, "Why don't you sow? I know these people, it's still Magen David Adom, but they are located in the UK. They already in Israel, but there's this part of this team who are located in the UK. Go ahead and sow a seed towards that." So we sent $1,000 to Magen Adom David. That was in, I think it was in May, June, immediately after Feast of Weeks. And we continued. We keep believing God. We continue doing what we need to do. And I think in October also we sent some seeds we actually sent to Israel during the Sukkot Feast of Tabernacles. We also sent some donations to help Israel. And that had happened when they had just been attacked in October 7th. So then, recently, I already explained to you, when they are making a trip to Israel from the UK, Toby called me and asked me, will you join them, please? I said, okay, I'll check out. And we agreed, and I went. So that is, in a nutshell, that's the team that I went with. I was the only one from Africa. I was the only African among, I think we were, 30 or 28. I was the only African. There one who's also, she's British, but the parents came from Jamaica. But all of those, it happened that I was the only one in Africa, from Africa. So in places they went, they are talking about all of us British people, all of us come from London. So I had to say, no, I'm a Kenyan. I came from Kenya. I don't live in London. I don't live in the UK. So I want you to see some photos and I'll explain step by step. Okay, you ready? You like movies, I know that. All right, I know they didn't start on the first day. I think that was the third day. Yes, it was the third day. We went to volunteer in that land, which is about 6 kilometers from Gaza. Now, let me give you something about it. Most of the workers were coming from Thailand. And you remember during the attack, about to harvest the attack in October, they went back to their country. What does that mean? Thousands of acres of Jewish farmers don't have workers. What has happened to that man? That man is called Dudu. It's called Dudu. I didn't tell him what Dudu means in Kenya. But Dudu, the owner of that land, they've been there for 40 years, parents and all that, huge chunk of land. You'll be seeing it in a while. Then he was left without workers. But after October 7th, within a short time, volunteers started going there to help him harvest and help him in farming. So volunteers from different nations of the world going to help him. Now, I'll go to the next one. So that was the parking area, though. That's the man picking paper. So I was picking paper over there, and we did quite some harvesting. My goodness, that place was hot. I didn't know it was going to be in the in a greenhouse, because General Israel right now for a Kenyan is cold, goes down to 13 degrees Celsius. So I thought it was going to be a cold day. So I dressed up that way only to go there, and I was sweating. So anyway, we picking paper. I go the next one, please. And they mix them up, but that's Jerusalem City. I'm not going to say anything about it now. That on Tuesday, it was amazing. I was telling you that we travel on, I get there on Monday. My luggage didn't come in. But then on Sunday, as I was packing, on Saturday, Tina told me, honey, pack some clothes, because your luggage sometimes can delay and you don't have clothes. And remember, you're going to meet with a first lady. And I say, are you in faith? Are you really in faith for my luggage to delay? Anyway, after that, I packed. I still did. I'm glad I listened to her. So I packed some, at least I had a blazer and a shirt I was wearing and shoes, put in my carry-on bag, and I went to that. That really helped me. But I went there, I didn't have a toothbrush, toothpaste, started looking for that. Anyway, so then, in fact, on Tuesday, when you are going to see the first lady, Michael Herzog, the guys were saying, my goodness, this is the smartest person I've ever seen whose luggage has remained behind. Did you go out shopping? I said, no, I'd pack this one. My wife told me it's good to have good wives. So they actually, one of them told me. So, but that is the president's residence, actually. And got the next one. We just gotten in. That's the first lady, Michael Herzog, and then Toby there, you can see Toby in the middle, and then me by the side. So anyway, she was told, I come from Kenya, and she greeted me and all that, and it was all gracious. Go to the next one. Now look at this. My first day to Jerusalem, I was going to the president's residence. That's a miracle right there. My first day, the place I was going to, Jerusalem. Now, if you all listen to, they're called Messianic Jews, people like Sid Roth, Paul Wilbur, who else? Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, and who else did you say? And that man, Tina and I have watched him over the years. It's called Barry Segal. Anyone? Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, and then Segal, S-E-G-A-L. Anyone? Only one. Now I'm inviting you to, and Mary also? Yeah, only two. I'm inviting you to know what is happening in our generation. Of all the men you see on television, that's the man, Messianic Jew. Of course, he was born in America, but in the 80s, he went back to his country, to Israel. God spoke to him, and he was telling me, I have admired, listened to him, you know, even during the Sukkot, we are listening to him. But when we sowed a seed to Toby's ministry is called Shalom International, they brought back acknowledgments to one of the places it went to was in Barry Segal's ministry, Vision for Israel. I was thrilled. Toby said, you know the man? I say, I've known of him. We've watched him over the years. I have his CDs. He's a musical. Go and check him out. Messianic music. Barry and the wife is called Batya, B-A-T-Y-A, Segal, S-E-G-A-L. Wonderful music, you'll worship with it. Some of them we've sung. And there are several of Paul Wilbur. You all know Paul Wilbur? All of us. Paul Wilbur is recorded in Israel. He was with Barry and his wife. They are part of those singing, playing a guitar. He's that kind of a person. So I've admired his ministry over the years. We are going to the president's. I didn't know he was going to be there. Because he had said, I'd like to meet that, last year, he had said, I want to meet that pastor from Africa, but we are going there in the president's residence and return, and Barry's here. Segal thought, oh my goodness, we are the same height. I'm slightly taller than him. Those are the few people I'm taller than, and it was amazing. So he's here, and he was told, this is now Pastor Davis from Africa, and then he was told by Toby, and he said, I thought he was the one. We connected. Just that. I'll give you the story of how much we connected. So anyway, so that's him over there with me. Some of the few people are of the same height and taller. Okay, go ahead, the next one. So there's presidents, and that's, of course, me and Toby. Now you remember Toby. Go ahead, the next one, please. And they mix them up, but I'll go step by step. That is the MDA, I'll call it MDA, Magen David Adom. Of course, they do the humanitarian. Let me read some things that they do. Is Magen David Adom in Israel is the recognized national society of the state of Israel. It provides humanitarian assistance. Since the conflict escalated in Israel on 7th October, Magen MDA has mobilized all of its available resources to assist the injured. This includes 1,500 ambulances and 10,000 first responders. All MDA ambulances are staffed and call 24/7. So we went to different of their sites of MDA. Remember, I was with the CEO who was leading the team, CEO of MDA UK is the one who was leading the team. So look at that ambulance. Of course, I was able to see things in the ambulance, how they respond and all that. But that ambulance, if you're able to zoom, which I know they may not be able to, is actually donated by Larry Hack Ministries from Texas. Donation came from there. In the ministry in the past, out of the first fruits that we give during the Jewish festivals, we have sown to Larry Hack Ministries. So when I saw that, I thought, maybe our seed is part of it because you've sown in the past. So I took a photo with that ambulance. So that's me there. That's not a Magen Adam volunteer. That's me. Go to the next one, please. Those are rockets in the farm that we had gone to. Remember, it's about 5 kilometers from Gaza. So those are rockets which are thrown to that farm where we are volunteering. In fact, we went there and we hear the... Now we went to the Nova Festival site. We hear those bombs and all that. And people are that way. And then the lady was leading us. She's called Tali, Jewish. Say, when are you all going to get used to hearing bombs in Israel? I wasn't scared. I was fine. But we'll hear them on the smoke just in the nearby of Gaza Strip. So that's on some of the rockets that were aimed at that land. Go ahead, go forward, please. That's Dudu. That's the owner of the land. Yeah, that's the owner of that land. Huge. Agriculture is big in Israel. Go to the next one, please. Oh, they mix them up. Okay, that's the president's. This, the left side from me viewing, is the left side. That's the president's residence. But the right side is not the same. Are you seeing, which flag are you seeing in the left side? Huh? Come on, which flag is that? Israel flag. And this other one? British flag. So they are not the same. This other one went to the High Commissioner of British residence, so that is the residence. You can tell this is like a Queen of England. Oh my goodness, it's so British. That is, I think, on Thursday. Let's go to the next one. Okay, so now that's Barry Segal's in his ministry, Vision for Israel, the Joseph Storehouse Humanitarian Aid Center. It's huge what they are doing. They build bomb shelters, they feed people, they give clothes. It's huge. I went to the store, we'll see in a short while, but I went to their store, and I'm telling you, we connected so much with that man, and we are going to do so much work in supporting him. And he says this, my heart is warming up for Kenya now. Yeah, I said, Barry, let's be talking, because I so desire for you to come to Kenya and see people, believers, and teach them the word of God. He's a Jew. Him and his wife. Go to the next one. So look at this. That's what I say, they mixed them up. But no problem, I'll explain. But so I met with him on Tuesday, Barry, and then on Thursday he called me. He said, Pastor, what are you doing on Friday? He said, I was going to go to Jerusalem and on and on and on. He said, do you mind if you came, I spend some time with you? I don't mind. The full day he dedicated to be with me until took me for dinner with his wife in Jerusalem and drove me back to the hotel, which is 1 hour away, just taking time with me. I feel like, you know, you've come out of your body and you're meeting with Moses and Elijah in heaven. And they are spending time with you. That's how I felt spending time with Barry Segal. But look at this. The other one is the Deputy High Commissioner of British Deputy High Commissioner. She's called Helen. Took a photo with her. Then the middle one, I'm with Rabbi Gershon Uga. Rabbi Gershon Uga is of Zion Orphanage in Jerusalem. For 5 years, four years. Okay. We have supported that Zion Orphanage every month in Israel. We've been sending $200 in support of that vision. And when I called, he said, Pastor, come. So I went and had an appointment with him, and it was a wonderful time together. So that's him, and they have children from 3 years to 22 years of age in that orphanage. That is one of the children, believe me, is one of the children at their home. The one in a black jacket, he doesn't speak English, so it's ha 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 ha. But that's a brother there. Go to the next one, please. So that one on the left, I'm at the residence of the High Commissioner, British High Commissioner to Israel. And this other one, we are down at the streets, we are talking, and on and on and on, and those young people who are soldiers in IDF, Israel Defense Force. I asked them, do you mind if I took a photo with you? Not at all. So I took a photo with them. I'm going to talk to the youth in a moment. I took a photo with them, and it was wonderful. You see, we are marching. Those ones are 19, 20 years, about 19 or 20 years. Let me tell you something which Pastor Carla said, and I'm going to really emphasize. When they come to 13 years in Israel, they are adults. They're no longer children. There's nothing like youths. You come from a child, I'm forgetting what they call it. I'm going to study. I may have some teachings with Barry Segal. Huh? Beth? I've never had to pronounce it well, so I have to pay attention. Then when they pass there, they are adults, they are not youth. They think different, they are responsible. 18, 19, 20. On Friday, I was walking around in Tel Aviv and going to Jerusalem on Thursday. This, I'm thinking like, let me see people like who, this side over here. People like Dorcas. Dorcas, are you 18 yet? Come on, let me see 18 years old here. This side, 18, 19. Just stand up, this side. Anyone, come on. 18, 19, anyone in the sanctuary? I want to see that. Don't hesitate. I mean, yeah, that's what, 18, 19. Okay, let me see all of you, 18, 19. Come on, stand up. We don't have 18, 19 there in high school. It takes you that long, guys? That's why you need to go through IDF. An elder's word is final. Now look at this. These are the guys I was meeting in the streets with guns. They are going home over the weekend for Shabbat. They are carrying guns. They are going home for a weekend. I felt this way. I tell people, and I was telling the Jews, people ask me, why are you short? I tell them, because I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish by nature. And they'll laugh, really. I'm so taller than many Jewish people. So I'm Jewish. Now listen to this. I realize we are spoon-feeding our children when they're supposed to be responsible. And we are having a failure to the next generation. It's us adults, not them. Not them. These are young people. Let me see 20, 21, anyone? 20, 20, 21. Keep standing, keep standing. I didn't tell you to sit, remember? If you are going through military training, 20, 21 in the house, please let me see you. 20, 21, 22, 23, let me see you. Come on, come on. Doesn't take you that long. It shouldn't take you that long. 20, 21. All these are people that I was meeting with guns. Those are like those people. Do you know what a gun is? Responsibility. They are all over. I remember looking at some girls. You know, you feel like these are girls. You know, like girls come here. I was telling them, I asked them, English? Because, you know, there are some places I was alone. I say, English? Do you speak English? They say, yes. Most of them, these young ones, speak English. Yes, I speak English. And I said, thank you so much for serving your nation. He said, oh, you're welcome. These people with guns. Now, I'm not telling you to tell President Ruto to give you a gun. You understand that? Go ahead and be seated. Parents, listen to me careful. That's why we have 30 years old, they still depend on you. 25 years old, they are still depending on you. Read the Bible. It ought not to be so. We have big children in their 20s with diapers. It shouldn't. Oh, we want to be youth at 35. What? That's nonsense. That's nonsense. That's political right. That's not biblical right. Biblically right. Politically, it's available. Yeah, you can join in all this united things in the world. They are brainwashed by the kingdom of darkness. The children of light should be different. responsible. I don't have to come cleaning your house or cleaning your room at 19 and 18, and mama, you are there 17 years. You are cleaning the house of your youth. That's nonsense. Rise up. Change your way of thinking. Don't raise up children. Raise up responsible leaders for the future. That I have to say sharply, because I'm finding so irresponsible youths or children being raised up because of irresponsible, born-again, spirit-filled parents. I lived in a slum. I didn't die. It helped me early. When the Lord told me, come out of this, I was living with my uncle in Mbeiga. Come out of this place. I was looking for a house in Kibera slum to pay 250 shillings per month, where I didn't know where that money was going to come from. It had no floor. You are built for hardness. My child, I'm waiting for my child. What age? 25-year-old? I beg your pardon. Oh, that I had to say it. That's why in Kenya we have youths at how many years? They say what? Then there are how many? Youth? What age? 18 to 35. I beg your pardon. No wonder they don't do much. They are children in diapers at 34. As youth, who? Big baby. I'll not apologize for my language. It's disgusting. It raises handcuffed children. They'll do nothing because they're used to be spoon-fed. Let's go back to the Bible. I'm going to be teaching some things regarding that. Let's go back to the Bible. Remember, this is the first. It was already been prophesied over me. This is the first of many things to understand some Jewish thinking from God's perspective and move forward. That's why Pastor Kala refused. He said, well, we'll be having youth church on Sunday. Their youth are separately. They're having their own things. She said, Davis, you can do that when I'm in heaven. And I'm not, she didn't raise up a fool. I will never do that. They need to hear the word. Oh, the service is long. They sit the whole day in school. All the churches are doing youth church. That's upon them. We are not called to other churches. We're called to Victory Faith Church. And the sheep know their voice. But some are living to God. That's fine. But some are coming. We'll hear the voice of God. You can as well say amen. Say, Pastor, did you go to Israel to come and fry us? Yeah? Put it on a frying pan. Yeah, I came to fry you. Parents, do you want some fries? Not for you to eat, but to be part of those fries. That's good. You better receive that. Please stop cleaning home rooms of 15, 20 years. You should listen to Miss Nehemiah. Or socks of adults, 12-year-old. Who's washing the socks? I had a Kisianganis. They were telling me, John and Carol, they live in Kitale, church members. They say that I think one of the daughters was eating, and then at some point say, Auntie, come and pick this. Ooh. And was seated. Carol said, that's the last time we employed a house help. Realize I am raising failures. Auntie, so come with your plate. Come, I'll come with a slap. It's not Auntie who's going to show up. Mama should show up with a slap. Slap there. Rare ends. so that they can start thinking right. Can I hear you, amen?
Amen.
Who are we raising? Responsible leaders, is that so?
Yes.
Amen. Let's stand right there and do what God wants us to do. So that was provoked by this. I saw too many of them for me to keep quiet. I will not be silent. Let's go to the next one. Some of you are thinking, I wish this photo could not have appeared. Do you like the place? That is Barry Segal's Millennium Center. It's humongous. The structure is humongous. Millions of dollars that you built that debt-free, completely debt-free. In fact, you told me, Pastor, there is, I need a, is it 10,000? How many? How much money? I'm forgetting the amount. To finish this part, I want you to pray. I say, sir, I will. And I like for us to believe us for a seed to sow towards that. It's worth sowing into. I'll be going talking to Pastor Kala this week of some things that we need to get involved more with Israel in fulfilling the word of the prophecies of God. So he took me to his place. Let's go to the next one, please. Let's see if I can move a bit fast. I had to show you that one. Because that's the vehicle which picked me up from the airport and dropped me off. Men were saying, looks like an aeroplane inside. Ladies usually is like, okay. But that's a Jeep. Is it five feet wide? It's so spacious. I sat back there and said, it feels good. I was taking a picture of it. Then the driver is called Michael. Michael said, no, Pastor, let me take a photo of you with this vehicle. I told him, will you give it to me? I bought a plane with it to go to Kenya with it. He laughed. Anyway, let's go. That's at the airport. Go to the next one, please. That is Zion Orphanage, where I'd gone to. That's the orphanage. Go to the next one. Of course, that's Jerusalem City, different places. Go to, are you seeing our hill? Anyone who's ever been to Israel? Let me see hands of those who've been to Israel. Just few of us. Lift up your hand. I just saw few of us. Anyone wants to be in to go to Israel? Yeah. Praise God. Do you know the first time God spoke to me about my part of the call to the Jewish people? Was in 1997. Though it delays, do what? Wait for it. Go to the next one, but it's Healy. It's Healy. That's the Barry Segal's place called Millennium Center. Are you seeing it at the background? It's wonderful. Go to the next one, please, quickly. Okay. That's the first. Nowadays we know, because we've heard in the news, kibbutz, you know kibbutz? Those villages and many of them which are attacked. So the first photo on the left, upper left, and the one down is just 6 kilometers from Gaza. In fact, that's Gaza Strip. If you're able to zoom, you could have seen the buildings that we see, you know, shelters that we see, or shelters broken down and all that we see affected by the bombs. We could have seen them actually. We could see them from where we were. Let's go to the next one, please. So we went to those villages, kibbutz. Those are the first time one of the Magen Adom workers to go back there. She's Jewish. She says she looked at the place since it happened October 7th. She's never gone back. And she looked at the place. She knew the people. She knew families. She would ride her bicycle there. And many of them were killed. And several still in held hostage in Gaza. She wept and wept and wept. Can you imagine going back to your village and you're finding, you knew this is Maina, this is Njenga, this is Kamau, this is Omboi, and their houses have been killed, their houses well built, they are all looking like the way those ones look. How do you feel? You ought to be praying for the Jewish people. Go to the next one, please. So we went there. Are you seeing that? These are homes ripped by bullets. that the support of this other one was killed. That's the home, the owner of that home. They put banners of so-and-so killed on that home, so-and-so killed, this one kidnapped. You'll find them in their homes, actually. It's so sad to think how much blood was shed in that area. Go to the next one, please. Are you seeing those homes? It was terrible. Go to the next one, please. There are still those homes destroyed left. Those people loved their area. It's so beautiful. I can easily live there. It's in the village. Beautiful villages. But they were killed. Go to the next one, please. Have you seen that? Destroyed by Hamas, that one. Go to the next one. Now, that is the Nova Festival site. We were there on Monday. You remember the Nova Festival? That's the Nova Festival site. All those who've been killed, you see their photos there, and some of them in hostages, still are hostages. They're there. Go to the next one. I could not imagine being there and how much blood had been shed there. The rape, the killings, unimaginable. Go to the next one, please. And it's an open place. They could not hide anywhere. So it was just, it's like those Hamas terrorists went there, and it was wonderful just to them shooting and killing those young people. Young people being at the right place at the right time is critical. Go to the next one. That's a soldier from where now? Now that is a Barry Segal's storage. Of course, he has to go to those places which are so dangerous. So you have to wear that. That is a helmet, bulletproof vest. You have to wear that. They are heavy. But he told me not as heavy as for soldiers. The soldiers are even heavier. But I felt good just wearing them. Go to the next one, please. That's him and I. Behind there, that's Jerusalem. You can see the yellow dome behind there. But that's Jerusalem. Wonderful place. Go ahead, please. Very cold. Now, this is the team. Are you seeing any flag you can recognize there? I'm hidden. I realized that I'd hid even my face with the Kenyan flag. But different flags, few nationalities, other nationalities, apart from, I think there's Jamaican. I'm forgetting where that one at the front come from. Huh? Yes, France. You're right. Yeah, France and then Kenya. But others, you can tell the Jewish and British. So, but praise God. Go to the next one, please, quickly. That is Nova Festival site. Go to the next one. That's in one of the kibbutz also. We went in there to see what happened. Go to the next one, please. Now, do you remember, do I know how to pronounce it well? Sidrot. Do you remember that police station that had been bombed? Done by terrorists? Anyone ever watched the news? The first night, the first day it happened, actually, they destroyed the police station. They killed several police officers. That's the place. That's the place. There was a police station there, but it was now destroyed completely. And many, there's so much bloodshed in that area. We went there. When you are there, you hear in Gaza, boom, ba-boom, so, okay, we're here. Praise God. Covered by the blood. Go to the next one, please. Are you seeing that's the Nova Festival site? Are you seeing all those photos of people and flags of Israel that have been put there? Many of them. Go to the next one, please. Because of time. Is that it? Okay. Any video? Show them where you're going through the tunnel. That's a mock tunnel. The museum in Israel, Tel Aviv. Can you imagine living there like, inside like a rat? But that's where they are keeping all those hostages. Isn't that sad to live like a rat? All right, that's fine. Thank you. Do you have any other? I think that's fine. That's fine because of time. Already taken much time. But this is a center where there are so many of those people who have been killed. They printed out In essence, church, let me say something here. The nation is still in mourning. It's so devastating what they have gone through. It's unimaginable. And I'll end with a story. Many years ago, Tina and I had gone to see a nephew, her sister's son, had been hospitalized in Gertrude's hospital. Was it Gertrude's? Yes, it was. And then, so I told Tina, David has been hospitalized. How old was he then? 5, 6 years old. I said, David has been hospitalized. Let's go there. So we went, and I prayed for David. It happened after that when we are meeting, you know, the meeting with Tina's part of the side of the family. In all those meetings, when David would be there, he will run to come and hug me. Uncle Davis! He'll come and hug me. I learned something. How to minister or to be there to be available for a person in their lowest moments. It's very important. They will remember you for that. Have you noticed not many people remember if you are for their wedding or not? But when they're in deep sorrow and grief, they need your help. It's better to be in a house of mourning than in a house of feasting. You know that in the scripture, in the book of Proverbs, I felt so privileged. There are more purposes than this, but I felt so privileged to be part of the team that went to Israel in their time of need. In fact, there's a restaurant we went, I was taken to by Barry and his wife to a certain restaurant on Friday evening, and I told him, I'll be back, and I'll be back here with my wife to come and eat in this restaurant and take some time in Jerusalem, just in this restaurant, nice restaurant. And he said this, if you'll still find us in Israel, we don't know if we'll still have our land or not. I knew what that meant. I turned to Barry, and Barry told me, many people don't realize this, how this has shaken many Jewish people. Until there are some who are actually looking for a place outside there to buy a land like in Greece so that they can move away. Listen, political position is much lower because it's controlled by the devil from the second heaven. But there is the throne of God forever and ever, and is a God of covenant, and that is precedent and higher than political systems. The people, even like things that I've shared here, they say, oh no, you don't care, da 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 da. You know what they've done? I don't care. They didn't save me. A Jew paid the price for me. A Jew paid the price for me to be saved. What about other people? Oh, I pray for them. God loves the Palestinians. God loves people. But listen to this. It's like sometimes you've looked at a certain tribe and you say, all of them, that's not true. Not all of them are evil. You shall have some aspect of evil men, but that does not reflect all of them in that tribe. You understand? Do you know what I'm talking about? I've been around wonderful Somali people. But what do many people say? Al-Shabaab. No, they are not. They're not Al-Shabaab. How are you going ever to witness to them if you call them Al-Shabaab? Wonderful Somali people. Ate in their homes. Wonderful people. Don't be caught up in living a low life. Come up higher. Live way above powers, principalities of wickedness. You have that message, you're going to teach it next Sunday. Next Sunday. You're to speak the message today, so next Sunday, it's you. All right, next Sunday, you're the one going to minister. But let me wind it up by saying, oh, we still have some time. Why am I winding up? Let's go to the scriptures. Some few minutes, though. Let's go to Genesis 12. Politics are temporary. Covenant is eternal. Don't forget that. Politics are temporary. Covenant is eternal. It's eternal. I'm telling you, church, the Lord has dealt with me over the years about having that eternal mindset. And remember, I've taught over and over again over the years. And I'm leaving on a Sunday, and then my own brother I love dies on a Saturday evening. You better know who you know. You better know who you know. And you're in a foreign country, and they are going on, and the burial and the planning and all that. You better know who you know. And stay, that Colossians 3:1 was right in front of me all the time. And God helping me. And walked above those emotions that will try just to, you know, to come on me. You may be thinking like, Pastor, you're not feeling anything. You're calling me a piece of metal. If you ask me a question like that, you aren't feeling anything. You are calling me, Pastor, you are a piece of metal. You feel nothing. Not true. We all have emotions. Who am I? I'm a spirit being. I have a soul. I live in a body. What is that part of the soul? Mind, will, and emotions. I have emotions. I live in this physical body. But listen to this. You have to focus on what you're persuaded is God's will for that moment. Because many people didn't know what it took to prepare. And listen to this. You may think I'm insensitive, but I've had to think in this manner. And I said it actually to my brother when I was telling him, you all are going to have the burial on Friday when I'm away. He said, no, 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 we'll wait for you to come back. I said, don't. What did I say next? That's Jonah's body. That's not Jonah. That's Jonah's body. That's not Jonah. I had to separate that to be able to continue. Did you have any emotions? Oh, I did. I remember on Friday morning, the day of the burial, God spoke to me that morning. Tina said when she heard my voice that day, it was a different voice. He spoke to me that morning, and it was a game changer. You must be eternal minded. Or else you will not do much. Listen, or else an attack of the devil will throw you to pieces. That's why I shared with you Matthew 7:21. You know, remember, we read those scripture from verse 24 there. I shared with you that. You must. In a time of crisis, you ought to be drawing strength from the Lord and enable you to continue. Prayers of saints, very important. But you can negate prayers of saints by your decisions, choices, which you've made prior to that day. Amen? Does that say something to you? All right, you're all quiet. I know that doesn't resonate with your cultural thinking, but we are of the kingdom, not of the natural cultural thinking. We're of the kingdom of God, people. And we can only draw strength from the Lord and humble ourselves and say, God, you are our strength. Genesis 12:1 quickly, it says this, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Look at verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I will bless those who bless you. Let's be the part of people that we are conscious of God's covenant and operate in it. Amen. Let me give you this quickly, then I wind up with this. I wanted to revisit some things that I said. Then you can go you can go listen to this message I spoke on 2nd February 2024 about some of the reasons why you pray for Israel. And I say, first, you can go check it, but I'm going to read them out. It's through Abraham we have received the blessing of God. That's Genesis 12, 1 and 3. And in all the and in you all the families or nations of the earth shall be blessed. Secondly, through the God of the Hebrews, we have received salvation in the Lord Jesus. He's the God of the Hebrews. In fact, in Genesis 14, 13, you can check it out in your own time. The man who had escaped when Lot had been taken hostage, he told Abraham the Hebrew. So Abraham was what? A Hebrew. And in Exodus 5, 3, God told Moses, go tell Pharaoh that the God of the Hebrews has met with us. So he's the God of the Hebrews. He's never changed. Remember, one of the things that God says is this, I change not. So is he still the God of the Hebrews? Come on now. All right. And the third one is because we honor our heritage. Parent, would you like when you have wealth, or you have wealth and give it over to your child, would you want them to honor that heritage? Would you want to? That's important. That's important. That's why I honor what Pastors Wade and Carla Porter have done in this ministry, and I'll honor that for the rest of my life. I will keep something because I knew where it came from, and they use their faith in God to do something. I will honor that for the rest of my life. Why? I honor my heritage. And you've seen in Matthew 1:1 about the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And listen to this, another one. Why the reason we honor them is the plan of God to save the Jews because of his covenant. It's God's plan to save the Jews because of his covenant. And then the fifth one, they are coming to Christ is great riches to the church and the world. They are coming to Christ is great riches to the church and to the world. In Romans 11, you can read it in your own time, and you'll find that. And listen, this is the last one I want to say. No, two more. I believe that there has never been a better time for them to come to the Lord in multitudes than now. Barry Segal told me this. What they have gone through is grievous, and it feels like the hardened hearts, those who are not believers in Christ, are being opened up for the gospel. He said, have I seen multitudes coming to the Lord? No, I haven't seen. But their hearts are opening for the kingdom of God. And then lastly, what I shared was this. Praying for Israel is a divine command to the church. God didn't say, please, may you please. No, he gave us a command. Psalm 122, then you finish up. You can stand up, please. You're writing. Go ahead, finish writing. It's a command of God to the church. Praying for Israel. Tel Aviv is so wonderful and expensive city. But it's so wonderful in that they say it's so secure. Just walk around. That's fine. No problem. So on Thursday, I think I went back. I told the guy, is it on Wednesday? I'm not going for dinner with you because I knew it was going to be until late. Maybe could have gone back to the hotel at 12 midnight. So anyway, I'm going to eat and you just walk. You feel so secure walking in the city at night. People are just walking. And then so Toby told me, I was going to Zion Orphanage alone on Thursday. So she told me this. The problem is the language. You go to a country and they don't, you know, almost everything is written in Hebrew. Wow, that's challenging. And you hear them saying it in Hebrew, that's challenging. And to pronounce some of those names of places, you know, it's like your village. To pronounce your village sometimes can be so difficult for us. You know what your village means. I mean, the name that you know. But look at this. So she told me this. Pastor Davis, remember you are in Israel. In Israel, the person who's seated next to you, you ask them. They will show you. They will tell you where to go. That's how we are in Israel. Don't forget you are in Israel. You can ask questions. So I went to the train station. Have you ever gone to a place because of, you know, the culture? It's not in English. Unajisikia mshamba. You're scared. Would you tafanya nini? So I asked, so please tell me, do you speak English? Yes, I speak English. Young people speak wonderful English. And many of them born in the America, you know, in Europe. And then they told me, do this, da-da-da-da-da. So I went to the train and I asked, tell me the next station where I'm supposed to alight, where will this be? Because the train is in Hebrew, you know, the language they are using. So anyway, the mama was behind, said this, I'm alighting at the same place, don't worry, when I'm alighting, I'll tell you, then we may alight together. That's exactly what she did. Until you come to Nairobi. Ronald Street in Ghana. I find that ridiculous. Have you noticed that in Nairobi? Mombasa used to be different. Used to be like Tel Aviv. Even right now, it used to be like in Israel. Mombasa, even right now, to a big extent, until some people from other places started visiting, it changed. Really? I remember 1988, the first time I came to Nairobi, I was 15 years old. My brother was working for Kenya Breweries then. So he's living in a plot. You know a plot? And then there's a concrete sink that people share. Then, you know, come from the coast, and so I come over and say, Avarias boy. I thought, what did I do? Then I insist again, Abarigan, Zuri. That really surprised me. Can we break that? You as a believer, can you break that? Yes. Help people, talk to people. They helped me. The taxi driver, when I go there, when I go to Jerusalem, I say, I'm going to Zion Orphanage, but this is the number of the person I'm going to, so you can talk to him. Where? Okay, let me call him. So he took his phone and called, and for minutes explaining, and he said, okay, I'm bringing him. And then Toby had told me, also take the taxi driver's phone and call me to tell me you've reached. They have no problem. Simu yangu talipa, eh? Let's break that. Do you understand that? Be kind. One of the things that we find from the scriptures, always be kind to strangers. I know the question you are saying, but you don't know the strangers. I asked the same question years ago from the Lord. How will I know? There are so many con people. Then he told me this, Davis, if you listen to me in your heart, you will know when I'm speaking to you. You will know when I'm speaking to you. Finally, brethren, stand up on your feet, please. You like stories, yeah? Okay. Look at Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Do you know where that house was? And I'll use it for in this house, but let's go further and see. Let's go further to the next scripture, please. Oh, okay. Are you going to verse 2? Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. A certain lady here of a church told me years ago, they went there and they were told, do you know why believers are supposed to go there? They need to have their feet there. I said, okay. So our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Go to the next one, please. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Wonderful city. Where the tribes go up, of course, it's in the hills, the tribes of the Lord to the testimony of Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. I told Barry Segal, I said, Barry and Batia, I envy you. You live in Israel, you live in Jerusalem, but I'm looking forward to the new Jerusalem. There will be no war. I am so glad that day is coming. We shall be in the new Jerusalem, a city of God, a heavenly city of God. That day is coming so soon. The next one he says is, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Hallelujah. Because of the house of the Lord our God, and for us, because of what is done for us, I will seek your good. That's one of the reasons, major reasons, actually. One of the major reasons that we pray for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem. Did you learn anything today that you'll take home with you? Not just a hearer, but what? A doer. Don't forget that. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up your name. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. The one who brought the Messiah, Yeshua, your Son, to redeem us. We humble ourselves before you that our hearts may be right with your purposes. Father, forgive us for lies that we have accepted concerning the Jewish people. Every plant that you, our Heavenly Father, has not planted, we are fruited in the name of Jesus. And I'm asking you, Father, that you may open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to perceive your will in our generation, not only for the Jewish people, but your will for the church, your will for the people on this earth. Your purposes, Father, I'm praying for supernatural insight, even among the youth, among the children over there meeting in Children's Church, the youths, all men and women gathered in this house. I'm asking you, Father, for insight. The spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the religion and the politics of this world may not brainwash us, but that you may be preserved in our generation. Preserved for your purposes, for your plans in our generation. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for the president. We pray for his deputy. We pray for all those in authority, for divine alignment concerning your purposes for Israel. Divine alignment concerning your purposes for this nation, Father. As we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as we pray for Israel, the Jewish people all over the world, to stand against anti-Semitism and to do your will for their generation. Father, more than anything else, for their eyes to be opened to see Yeshua, Son of God, the Prince of Peace that we all need. I worship you. Thank you for the minister of your spirit. I prayed in the beginning. You know everyone, Father. I'm asking you to heal your people. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.